it goes something like this. When I came back from the Gambia and started working in public health, there were two big discourses about Glasgow's poor health. The story of Glasgow's poor health, of course, is not new to anyone. The popular discourse, the one you see in Reporting Scotland every time there's a health story, is Glaswegians smoke too much, eat the wrong diet, don't exercise, and are generally pretty bad at the health thing, and because of this, they suffer poor health. And that discourse comes out in the press and in popular discussion in all sorts of ways. Now, it's obviously flawed. And then the most obvious reason, or the most obvious way of showing that it's flawed, is to think about the pattern of Glasgow's ill health, the parts of Glasgow that experience poor health, and the gradient to the parts of Glasgow that has best health. And if you go back to the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, when people were dying of cholera, the people in the poor areas, you know, didn't wash their hands and did all the wrong things and got cholera, yeah? You move forward a wee bit, and tuberculosis is the captain of the men in death. And it was poor people, crumbs, they lived in overcrowded houses and spat and stuff like that, and they got TB. Then it was heart disease, strokes and cancers, and it was bad diet and smoking and all the rest. And now it's drug addiction, alcohol, suicide and violence, and again, you know? Now you've got to be very unlucky to live in the same area and get the same pattern of things all the way through. So clearly, simply looking at behaviour and the way that Reporting Scotland does isn't enough. And of course, the health establishment, and particularly a man called John Womersley, came up with a number of maps of Glasgow which showed that for years these patterns have existed and that there are deep structural factors which we'll use the shorthand which is often used in policy documents, simply call it deprivation. And by deprivation we mean problems like low income, poor education, overcrowding, no car ownership, all that kind of problem. We all know what it looks like, feels like, and so on. And in 1981, Carstairs and Morris did a study in Glasgow and looked at deprivation and health. And what they showed was that if you allow for deprivation, Glasgow is no more or less healthy than anywhere else in the United Kingdom. That was true of Scotland as a whole, and it was true of Glasgow. We'll kind of interchange between Scotland and Glasgow for this story. So what that meant was that, like for like, you know, if you lived in a prosperous part of Glasgow, your health experience was kind of like somebody who lives in a prosperous part of Manchester or Liverpool or Oxford or London. And if you lived in one of the most deprived parts of Glasgow, you suffered much poorer health. That gradient of poor health is absolutely a driver that we all know about and experience. But that gradient was the same in England, was the same in Manchester, the same in Liverpool, as recently as 1981. But since 1981, the whole United Kingdom has become more affluent. There's less overcrowding. If you look at the overcrowding stats, to look at car ownership, it's improved. It's true of poorer areas as well as richer areas, although that gradient's got worse. The rich have got richer faster than the poor have got a little bit less poor. So when we used to have a gradient like that, it's now more affluent. But an interesting phenomenon has arisen, and it is that, and I repeat, it's only since 1981, so any explanation that we have for it is something that needs to have changed in relatively recent times. In addition to the deprivation driver of poor health in Scotland and Glasgow, there is an additional effect, a double whammy. Now, let me be clear about this. If you live in Bear's Den, I don't know, some denizens of that fair town here, there is still now, for Glasgow, on average, more mortality in Bear's Den than in an equivalently affluent suburb of, say, Manchester or Liverpool or elsewhere. If you go to some of our poorest communities in the east end of Glasgow, say, pockets of the south side, and you compare them to equally deprived parts of England, Glasgow's got an additional mortality. Now that needs some explanation. Because you see, when I first entered public health, when we said, oh, we're not going to blame people, it's not just down to their behaviour, we've got to ask why smoking is high in poorer areas and so on. And we were right to do that. But there was another danger which says the only problem is material deprivation. And if only we could put the houses and the jobs right. Now, I think if you put the houses and the jobs right, you would make a big impact on health. Don't get me wrong about that. But there was a sense in which if we could only do that, that somehow it could be solved just by throwing money and interventions at the problem. What the Glasgow effect tells us is that there's something else. Now, what that something else is a big question. Because we've got to factor in a couple of other bits of information. One is, you see, we all know about Glasgow's story. An industrial city, you know, quarter of the world's shipping tonnage in the 1920s. Then the collapse of industrial industry. And that's contributed to the poor health of much of the city. But David Walsh, and I should acknowledge David, who's done so much of the work in all of this, he's compared Glasgow with 20 other parts of Europe, places like southern Poland or bits of East Germany, which are about a third of the income. So much poorer places that have also had deindustrialization, and they now have better health than Glasgow. So I always must emphasize this. Poverty is an absolute and important and vital driver of poor health. Glasgow's poor health is largely explained by its deprivation and poverty. But on top of that, there is now this Glasgow effect. It's in fact a Scottish effect. It affects every part of our city. It affects the rich part as well as the poor part. But it affects the poor part more than the rich part. So although people in the most affluent parts of Glasgow are more likely to die than their Manchester or Liverpool counterparts, those who are in the poorest parts are much more likely to die. And if you look at some of the data, you can all imagine PowerPoint slides, can't you? So this is the most recent piece of work that David and Martin and others have been doing. If you look at Manchester, Liverpool and Glasgow, there are three post-industrial cities, very similar cities, particularly Liverpool and Glasgow in terms of its culture, history, background and mix. Also, if I showed you the deprivation profiles of the three cities and didn't label them, you couldn't tell them apart. So by comparing these three cities, we've taken deprivation out of the equation. Then if we look at premature mortality, for males, it's 30% more in Glasgow. 30% more. Heart disease, 12% more. Cancer, 12% more. Suicide, now remember this is like for like, there's no deprivation factor in these comparisons. Suicide, 50% more. Violence, 50% more deaths. Alcohol, 2.5 times more. That's 225% more. Drugs related death, 2.5 times more. So the big question that now needs asked, and Jerry here has generated or systematized up to 20 different explanations. It's always fun to hear, and we might hear in questions what people's thinking on this might be. We need to ask ourselves, what has happened to Glasgow in these last 3 to 4 decades that explains not just the well-established gradient of ill health that's created by deprivation and poverty, but an additional effect that lifts that gradient higher than the rest of the UK. It's a conundrum, but I think that in addressing and looking at the answers to its possible explanations, we might move towards some more effective strategies for addressing Glasgow's current deep-seated health problems. Thank you.